We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're locked into Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss sports podcast with Ben Garrett and Billy and Body of the Ole Miss Spirit.
Well, welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Talk of Champions. It is so good to be back with you guys and in my own little studio opposite of Ben Garrett in the Riverland Roofing Studio.
That's right. The Riverland Roofing Studios. Riverland Roofing powers everything we do here on Talk of Champions and the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and a fit of on three. RiverlandRoofing.com, 662-644-4297. Check them out, man, and give them the support because they've done nothing but support us. Billy Embody is finally back. 2 weeks gone with his wife and son, Jack, to Paris. The trip of a lifetime. I hope it was great, my friend, but I'm not going to lie. It's nice to see you back in the chair. Back in the saddle, do you feel, you know, refreshed, relieved? I mean, did you get the experience you needed there across the pond?
Oh, unbelievable. We'll be holding a live chat on the Ole Miss Spirit message board. You can sign up for just $1. I'll give you all the Paris travel tips, the traveling with a 13-month-old across the sea tips you want. It was actually the front side. I highly recommend people flying that overnight flight. Because he slept pretty much the entire time, which was nice. And then on the way back, it was an adventure. It was like a lunchtime departure. And funny enough, we were an hour from touching down, and it turned into 2.5 hours because we hit a 95-mile-an-hour headwind. So, woo, that last, those seconds like ticking down, it's like, you know, probably how some people feel when you're watching that big upset. You're watching a top five win on the road for Ole Miss over Alabama or something like that. You know, you're seeing those seconds tick away, but it feels like a lifetime. But very refreshed, unbelievable trip. So happy to be back with you, Ben Garrett, talking some Ole Miss recruiting. Big weekend for the Rebels. So we've got a lot to get to on the show. And we are, of course, powered by our friends at Riverland Roofing. So where do you want to begin? Because we could go a bunch of different ways. We've got the big flip from Florida. We've got an in-state commitment for Ole Miss football coming off the official visit. And we also have Ole Miss basketball getting another commitment. So where do you want to start, Ben Garrett?
I want to cover all of it. I want to say, though, I've been in your shoes carrying a 13-month-old on a plane. First of all, you're a braver man than me, Bill, that you would be flying under these circumstances right now. But I'm glad to hear that Paris was awesome. I've been once, but only for a couple of days. Beautiful, wanted to stay. I'm so happy that you got that. Hopefully you weren't too plugged in. I tried to get you to get away from all of this. And we here at Talk of Champions are still going to have Bradley Sal live on Friday. We're going to try to make that a regular thing. I'm going over to Oxford today to Riverland Roofing because we're building out a studio inside Riverland for some important live stuff that we're going to be starting to do over and over again. So as you were gone, this train kept rolling. There's a lot of things you and I have to catch up on off air, my friend, because it's been a wild time. But no, there's a lot going on. I mean, obviously the commitment from the running back, a four-star for the 2026 class, is a big deal. But I think basketball and where they are after Travis Perry and kind of resetting the roster and kind of laying out what people need to understand about it, because we're going to fill the rest of this time after we touch on basketball with all the football notes that Billy's been waiting since Perry to just dump all over Talk of Champions. So I want to hear all about that. But if you didn't hear already, where are you, first of all? Where you been? The Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate of 0-3. We've been talking about this one for weeks now. He's led stories for us for weeks now. Travis Perry, the transfer guard from Kentucky, has committed to Ole Miss. Over 5,000 points in high school. The greatest scorer, or the most points scored in Kentucky basketball history. And got some run with Kentucky last year, but another big piece now, I think, brings the total to 10 for Ole Miss on its roster. Has 3 to 5 more spots left to really fill and make this roster complete. And if you look at this roster now with Travis Perry, who you're watching here, if you're watching with us on YouTube, Travis Perry is a predominant off-ball guard, I think, ideally, but can handle point. Right now, with the current construction of the roster, is probably one of those primary ball handlers, along with Corin Johnson from Louisville. But you look at the three guard spots, or maybe we want to say two guards and three forwards: Travis Perry, Corin, Eduardo Klofke, Patton Pinkins. The wing is probably AJ Storr from Kansas. I really like Elias Carmardine as far as being the predominant number two. He could play kind of like that Trey Davis role as well, though. I think he's the biggest outside add for Ole Miss basketball so far this offseason. If Malik Dia is the biggest move, which it doesn't need to be discounted, I understand why a lot of Ole Miss fans are feeling a little, not necessarily disappointed, but it's been a roller coaster of a process, and Ole Miss has either missed, or whatever you want to call it, has been in the finalist race for a number of high-end players. And not gotten those players. P.J. Haggard, he's going to be the one that everyone's talking about now because he's going to NC State. But it's been like that for most of the offseason. And if you look at the roster, it's a fair assessment, because Travis Perry, as much as I like him as a fill-out player for this roster, and he's got some real upside to him, he's one of the few, you know, healthy options. As far as the rest of the guys, they've got question marks from injury history, or with A.J. Storr being, this is his eighth program in 8 years going back to high school. Elias is coming from overseas. I think Elias is probably the most ready-made player to step in and contribute to winning right now, and has the highest upside of any of these other guys, because Storr's got an injury history. Corn's got an injury history. Augusta Casilla from Butler has an injury history. There's a lot of question marks about this roster, which gives you some uneasiness, right? But I think the front line is pretty well stocked with Malik Dia, Corey Chess, Augusta Casilla comes in as backup. Tyless Jordan can help. You want to add more there? I wouldn't be surprised, for example, if James Scott, the transfer from Louisville, who's coming off a visit, that would answer what they're looking for. Another big that can rotate in, can potentially push to start. But there isn't the same, I don't want to say firepower necessarily, but there's just more question marks with this one, this roster in particular, and it has a lot more volatility. It reminds me of football in a lot of ways. Football is not injuries. It's about the lack of production, the lack of proven talent. It's a work in progress. The range of outcomes could be any number of – it could land in any number of ways, right, from the worst kind of scenario to the best kind of scenario. This basketball team feels very similar right now, and they're not done. They've got to continue to add. But this – one thing we've learned about this offseason for basketball, the numbers have been insane. Ole Miss did double its NIL budget, has been competitive, has put together a competitive roster. But this is probably not the roster that you expected Ole Miss to put together coming off of Sweet 16. You figure that they would be right there with – and beating out Florida, the national champs, for Desmond Claude. But the numbers are so insane. And still in this environment, in this current setting – for college basketball recruiting, which is crazier even than football, they put together a competitive roster. Is it as good as last year's roster? No, not right now. But you're hoping, of course, for Malik Dia to be that NBA player that he started to show, especially in the NCAA tournament, that Elias Carmardine, who went through the NBA draft process last year, is that step in and start, probably the best external option that you've added so far. He is an NBA potential player. He has to be that, because again, everywhere else Bill. There are questions as far as injury concerns and things of that nature. I think Travis Perry, who was committed to another SEC school, as you reported on the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Fleet 3, last Wednesday, they continue to recruit him hard. It just shows you this has been competitive. It has been volatile. It has been dang near impossible to navigate. And even still, you look at the roster, and while it is incomplete and probably not exactly the picture that you thought coming out of the season off of a Sweet 16, it's still a competitive roster, and there's a lot to like. But there is a wider range of outcomes. I think the floor, I don't know what the floor is with this team. The floor, to me, at least looking with all the injury issues or injury history with some of these players, Bill, the floor is – you know, the bottom drops out because everybody gets hurt or something, or Travis Perry is. There's a lot to follow with this team now. Between now and the season, they're again going to add 3 to 5 more players. But I you give Chris Beard credit. The Travis Perry piece was really big, but they still got to get a point guard that can score. They still got to get another big. Maybe it's James Scott, who again visited, coming from Louisville, 6'11", could step in there behind D or help with Chest. They still need some more, but really I think the glaring need after Perry is a ball dominant point guard who can really score it. And I don't know where that is in the portal. I think they've chased guys like that. The kid that ended up at SMU from Jacksonville State's a good example of that. All the names start to jumble together. So if I can't recall it off the top of the dome, forgive me, but I think Ole Miss has put together a competitive team and there's some real upside, but the floor is pretty volatile and, they're not done. They still got some serious needs. I don't know if they're as good on paper right now as they were at the end of the year. And you thought maybe that was what was going to come, especially with a doubled NIL budget. But that should tell you about what the culture is now in college basketball, how hard it is to build out a roster, especially if you're so portal dependent. That's why I do think that while John Bowl was ticketed to go into the portal for a month, 2 months, and we've been talking about that here on Talk of Champions, player retention, especially for guys like him who've got some upside, you're looking for a big. You just brought in James Scott from Louisville. That's what John Bowl was. Say what you want to about him and not being the impact players, McDonald's All-American. But that's a good example of a player that in this new culture, you got to try to retain those as best you can because Eduardo Klofke's still on this roster and he's going to push to start. Malik D is still on this roster. He is going to obviously start. Those are big pieces, but the numbers are so crazy in the portal that even doubling it up for a guy like John Bowl to address a need might be something you do. Robert Coward wasn't going to play. God bless him. I hope he has a great career somewhere. TJ Caldwell got in before the year last year. He's kind of a ball-dominant guard, but he doesn't fit the need. You need whatever money they've got left, and they filled it out pretty good considering the circumstances. Got to go get that playmaking, ball-scoring point guard. So overall, if we're grading it, I would give Ole Miss a solid B. But I think a lot of fans out there, especially coming off what Ole Miss just did this season, we're expecting more, which I completely understand. And it's not an excuse. I think they've done well enough and built a competitive enough roster, but there is a reason to go, dang, man, they missed some opportunities, but that should tell you one, because they're trying, they're in there with everybody. But Ole Miss is not a team that's just going to pay PJ Haggerty $4 million because they're desperate, right? They got a full roster to put together. And I think they've done a pretty good job of coasting through it. But this roster still has work to do. And now we're going to be watching for another big and another playmaking point guard, one that can specifically run this team, because I don't think they have that, even with Corn, who can run the point, which is what I was told, and Travis Perry. So Travis Perry's a good piece. I think that was a key piece for them. And again, with how it'd been going to actually win one of these when he was coming off of being committed to another SEC school, Bill, I think says a lot about what Chris Beard is able to do in this culture, in this market, in this cycle that is so crazy.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up Elias Kamardine. Oh boy,
Kamardine.
Kamardine, who is from over in France, playing in his Euro League over there, was the MVP. A big disruptor, but actually committed while I was in Paris. I reached out to multiple people. I reached out to Elias. We could not get an interview. One of the lone regrets of the trip for sure since I was over there, but you scouted him out at the Ole Miss Spirit, a big disruptor. He's got an incredible wingspan. He did declare for the NBA draft in 2024, tested the waters, went through workouts. You could tell when some of these Euros commit to a college program, how big of a deal it is by the social media reaction. We even got on the Ole Miss Spirit some follows from French basketball reporters. So it's a big deal when you bring in a player like that. And, you know, for Ole Miss, they need him to maybe be that X factor. It's kind of tough to sit here and say, well, how is he going to, you know, fit into the puzzle? How is he going to play? Because these guys are coming over to the States and they're starting college. They're starting in a different language. They're starting with a coaching staff that doesn't really speak their language, I would imagine. So Elias is going to have some adjusting to do. But the good thing is he'll have the summer. He'll have that chance to get over and kind of get adjusted to life in Oxford, Mississippi. But I think he is going a little under the radar. And Travis Perry, coming off of his commitment, you mentioned the SEC school, Vanderbilt, had him kind of locked in. Eyes were set on him. They really thought they were going to get him. But Ole Miss kept chipping away and was able to get him on board. The basketball portal is, even with the doubled up NIL budget for Chris Beard, it's just insane right now, you know, for the portal. And I've talked with a lot of people around the program about this subject, which is, you know, this is why you're seeing Ole Miss really try to double down on high school recruiting, because right now with where the transfer portal is, it's just too much. I mean, these guys that they're bringing in getting so much money, and this goes across the country. And so Ole Miss is really trying to end up in a situation where they're trying to retain good players like a Malik Dia that they did. They got him from the portal, but you look ahead to like a Tyus Jordan, who's one of the best players in the country. If you fast forward a year from now or 2 years from now, and he is one of your key pieces, you're in a much better situation when you're in retaining mode. And that's where we're seeing this change for Ole Miss, and in larger sense, the basketball world, is they're wanting to retain these players from the high school ranks, because it does save you a few dollars here and there, where you can then apply that to going out and filling roster needs when you need to. So, you know, Chris Beard and his staff, they've done as, you know, a job that is not enviable by any you know, college program, having to rebuild the roster as much as they have to this offseason. It's not a good landscape in college basketball to have to fill as many scholarships as they did this offseason, but they've now got a team that can play 5-on-5 basketball, Ben. That is a big thing, an underrated piece, right? Because college, the summer school does get going here in just a few weeks. So they'll be able to play against each other. They won't have to do 3-on-3 or have some coaches tap in and bring in some students to play pickup games with them. They'll be able to go 5-on-5, which will be nice. And that's where you'll see the development this offseason when they get these guys in school and coming back in some senses to get back to work with Chris Beard and his staff. I think the development angle of Chris Beard and his staff is something that you can't really quantify. It doesn't mean that this team is going to develop over the summer and come together and be a Final Four team. It doesn't mean they're going to even make the NCAA tournament. They have a lot of work to do to make that happen. But that is the culture that Chris Beard has set, is really rooted in development. And that's why he can take players that are cast-offs, or, you know, maybe are a bunch of guys who don't necessarily, you know, scream SEC starter or all conference, and he can take them and turn them into a team. And team basketball is really hard to come by in this day and age of the portal. And so that's something to keep an eye on when we get into the summer. We know the full roster at that point, whatever that is. You can add guys all the way until the drop date in August or September, whatever it is. And that's what Ole Miss is going to continue to do there.
That's right. And I saw a post on the board asking, is football and basketball recruiting still going in the portal? Yes, of course it is. I mean, football, it's not done. AJ Halsey just committed to LSU. That's one that Ole Miss really, I've talked about this on Talk of Champions for weeks. If you haven't heard, go to the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com with Philly Vaughn 3. And part of our reporting has been that Ole Miss wants at least 4 defensive backs in this portal cycle. They've got 3 so far. AJ Halsey was a target that they really considered and really talked to, really wanted. Flew to Houston to meet with him 1-on-1. He is now committed to LSU. They want one more defensive back. This stuff, the point is, this stuff is year round now, right? That's the beauty of the Ole Miss spirit. That's why we're there for you every single day. Yes, this stuff never stops. Constant roster building, both in football and in basketball. Because like Bill said, I mean, Ole Miss can add players up until the add drop date in August. So there is no summer break from this. There is no, now it's OTA time, where the NFL, they get their rosters kind of settled for OTAs. Ole Miss will still be continuing to pursue any and all options out there in the portal. And there are a lot of options out there. And that includes in basketball as well. We'd heard going into the portal that Ole Miss wanted to sign or was recruiting a player from Penn State, a player from Butler, and two international players. Well, the player from Butler was Augusta Casilla, and he's in the boat now. It took over a month. He visited like April 2nd and didn't get in, you know, get into the class until well into a month later. And that shows you that this stuff doesn't move as quickly as maybe you want it to, or maybe it's not following the same calendar. It's not the same calendar that you were used to with this stuff, where a kid can, like a Pop Isaac, something can move quickly and you think, oh, it's happening. And then some medical stuff and he's somewhere, he's at Houston a week later. There are cases where guys like Augusta Casilla visit or they're deep in on and they continue to work for a month only to say, like, what's the update? They continue to work on Travis Perry. They continue to work on Augusta Casilla. They got Augusta Casilla and they continue to work on Travis Perry. It's not sexy necessarily compared to like, well, you know, Pop Isaacs was this great player to Mark Adams at Texas Tech, went to Creighton. He's a great fit. Travis Perry is, again, an accomplished player out of high school that Kentucky really wanted. He just had to fill a role last year that he maybe wasn't ready for. Now with Chris Beard, can he open him up? Can he create an even greater level of player in Travis Perry? That remains to be seen. And there are so many questions like that throughout the roster that makes you – yeah, it gives you pause about what they can be next year. But if we've learned anything through 3 years, it's in Chris Beard, Ole Miss trust, right? I mean, Chris Beard is one of the very best coaches in his sport. And that's not hyperbolic. That is not an Ole Miss homer saying, hey, Chris Beard's awesome, trust him. I'm just saying, don't trust me. Who's telling you, yeah, they put together a competitive roster. There's some question marks, but I still think they're going to be competitive. They need more. I mean, they need a point guard. We had somebody on Twitter, in the YouTube comments, get in there and talk to us. King on the throne. I feel like a combo guard will start at point next season. Well, right now, I think that's absolutely on point, because if the season started today, Corin Johnson is going to be your point guard, right? And they don't really have a true natural backup point guard. There's not even a Juju on this roster that's a facilitator first and foremost, and has that scoring component, that dominant scoring component in bursts. So I think that's the number one need. They're going to continue to look. But again, James Scott from Louisville, big, is coming off of a visit, and they need another forward as well. This roster is going to be built out until it's done, and it doesn't have to be done until August. Same thing with football. TJ Dotter didn't commit until August. Remember? I mean, he had to sit out that year and didn't play until the Peach Bowl. But that's roster construction in the new sport. That's why we're all kind of paying attention to see if Nick Saban and the idiot Tommy Tuberville's, lobbying efforts with the president could actually lead to something as far as guardrails for NIL, because it's the wild, wild west. There's no structure to it at all. That's why until there's something, because I mean, 2 weeks ago, I was at an Ole Miss event and I was talking to some folks. And there's an expectation that the revenue share piece was coming within days, right? They're like, oh, well, it's going to be fine. We'll know something in a couple of days. Like the collective structure, all this stuff will be completely flipped on its ear. Talking about it that nonchalantly, something so seismic, just shows you that there is no rhyme or reason to any of this right now. And there are no adults stepping up saying, all right, here's something we need to do. So there's trying, but it's not working out. So for now, go to the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. Stay locked in with us. We're going to tell you everything we know. And cover this every single day, because you have to. This is a 365-day process now. So what do you think about that, though? The lobbying of Donald Trump, right? To try to get him signed one of those executive orders, right?
Did you see the it's one of those classic memes where the two gang members are holding up the do-rags or bandanas tied together, yeah. And it's, yeah, Alabama and Auburn fans coming together to support NIL. And classic.
I wish I was in the conversations when they weren't talking about official business and Nick Saban and Tommy Tuberville were just going at it. I would have loved to hear that. Who's had Tommy Tuberville on this podcast before, multiple times before he became a senator, he is someone unlike anyone else I've ever met.
He's a movie character.
That's what I'll say. Yes, he is a movie character. He's a He is, if the, the coach from Varsity Blues, played by John Vaught, became a senator.
Well, they need to follow up on Varsity Blues. We're waiting. We're getting Happy Gilmore. So
yes, Happy Gilmore too. I don't know if I can pull. I don't know, man. Watched the Dumb and Dumber sequel, and it killed me. You know, I don't know if I can do that. But yeah, man, like Tommy Tuberville is a different bird. One thing the man knows, you can talk shit about pretty much everything else with him, but the man knows ball enough to know, like, as anybody with the brain can look at the current structure and go, what are we going to do here?
Yeah.
So I do appreciate that somebody's trying to step up and do something. Nick Saban, when he steps in, you know, it's serious. And yeah. At this point, he's operating like the commissioner of football, the commissioner of college athletics. Just be that, Nick. Yeah. Just be that. It's needed. Just go ahead and step in and be that. I think the basketball program has done well enough so far this offseason. It's not necessarily what I thought was coming. I thought they'd make a huge splash somewhere. I just think the numbers have been insane, Bill. Yeah. Desmond Claude is somebody that I know they desperately wanted and were negotiating with and talking to. And he was like the leading guy. And it only takes Florida the national championship and that national champion with unlimited money to come in and say, well, yeah, that's a cute offer, Ole Miss, but this is what we can offer. Because they don't have to fill out 12 spots, right? Or 15 spots. Ole Miss does. And
Florida, this is where it comes kind of full circle. Florida lost Aberdeen to the portal. They're the national champs. And by the way, Florida sounds like they're poaching Michigan's president. So quite the time there in Gainesville. But look, speaking of stepping up, you mentioned those two words, and Ole Miss football stepping up a little bit on the recruiting trail. So let's shift there. But before we do want to remind you guys, we're also presented by our friends at Status Jet, statusjet.com. Reach out to them today. See the options they have for you. There's no membership required. So you can do this as a one-off with family, friends, work colleagues. And when you mention the Ole Miss Spirit, you get a discount on a round trip flight. So start planning. You know, if you really want to go see the Rebels, maybe in Hoover, this is a good opportunity to use a private jet to get in and out for whenever the Rebels run ends in Hoover in a couple weeks. So just reach out to them, Status Jet, and mention Ole Miss Spirit, and they'll give you a discount on your round trip flight plans, which is a pretty good deal there. So appreciate Status Jet for their support of the podcast. And we mentioned stepping up because Ole Miss.
Well, hold on about this private jet stuff. All right. I talked to my buddy Zach Scruggs at College Corner when I did the Spirit Bit on the Street for Double Decker. And he was like, look, if we need to get you, Brad, and Bill on a private plane, flying to somewhere, doing a podcast from the sky, we need to do that. So it's either Zach Scruggs or Status Jet. I need somebody, because I was like, don't tease me with a good time, Zach. Yes. Right. Don't tease me with a good time. I'll fly private and do whatever y'all want. So, yeah, man, we plan to do a lot of fun stuff with our live component here on the Ole Miss Spirit and Talk of Champions this point forward. I think the live component is important. So when you see us, we'll be live and you can catch our stuff later. Like I said, later this afternoon, going to build out a studio at Riverland. They're in Oxford, Mississippi, off the square. Go visit them, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. Look forward to sharing that with y'all when we get it all put up and bringing people into the Riverland Roofing Studios there in Oxford off of the square for live shows. The one with Bryson Sanders, I don't know what happened to the audio, man. I tested the thing three times, Bill, and it still went crazy. So hopefully we got all of the kinks worked out as we really try to go live, not just from Riverland either. We'll be live from the Grove. Come see us for football games. We'll be live in Oklahoma. That's the plan. Bill and I are going to be in Norman. So if you need a place to come hang out with us, man. We'd love to have you. Can't promise we can feed you, so bring you some Chick-fil-A sandwiches or something. But, we'd love to see you. You know, we're going to be live, hopefully, on Radio Row at SEC Media Day. So a lot of stuff that we have coming down the pike that I want to let Ole Miss fans know about that we're excited about. All you got to do is be there with us, man. We just want y'all with us at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate of On3. These times are chaotic. These times are wild, and it's never been more important for the Ole Miss community to stick together, be together, man, and to kind of pull in the same direction. So come hang out with us anytime. Anytime you feel the compulsion to find your Ole Miss community, hopefully that would be us, the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Philip 1-3.
All right, stepping up. This is a big, big commitment that Ole Miss got just really last week? Or did a whole week go by already? No, yeah, Friday. Cool. Friday. Awesome.
Yeah. And you're still jet lagged there, Bill.
Yeah.
You had a flight with a 13-month-old. The thing got extended another hour after 13. That's tough.
Yeah, that was tough. No. That really set us back.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
All right. Isaiah Williams, the number one linebacker in the entire country, did flip his commitment from Florida to Ole Miss. That comes after an official visit to Oxford at the end of April for double-decker weekend. They snuck him in there, and we had you covered at the Ole Miss Spirit on who was on campus that weekend. And look, for Ole Miss to get this commitment from Isaiah Williams is massive news. And when you look at what Pete Golding has done with some of the linebackers that he's brought in and the production of a Chris Poupal that he was able to show Isaiah Williams while he was on campus, this is a massive pickup for the Rebels. And look,
If he sticks, Bill.
I was getting there. But Isaiah Williams does have a slew of commitments he's already made with his recruitment. It's not been a very, very, let's just say firm commitment whenever he's done it. And he's now on commitment number 5, I believe. And he's right there down the road from Gainesville. So everybody kind of thought, well, maybe this would be the last one. But no, Ole Miss brought him on campus for that official visit weekend. And the Pete Golding shark went out. And people were wondering, well, is this portal? Is this high school? And we were actually able to let you guys know that it was a high school commitment. We'll usually, you know, allow those guys, unless maybe we have a pick in already, to do their thing. But the number one linebacker in the country was maybe going to kind of get his edit, get a video together, and then share the news. And it took him a few days to do it. But when I woke up Friday morning for Paris time, Isaiah Williams had committed to Ole Miss, a massive commitment for the Rebels. He is the number one linebacker in the country for On3. If the rankings ended today, he'd be a top 15 overall prospect and a 5-star. Really, really, really key commitment here if he sticks. And if he does, the Rebels are going to get one of the most physically impressive linebackers in the country, an All-American as a junior. So next year he'll be back at the Under Armour All-American game in all likelihood, but attended this past year as a junior, which shows you just how impressive he is. Has really just showed his electric athleticism on the field. Plays violent, and this is a big pickup. He's also had offers from Alabama, Florida State, Georgia, Colorado, Penn State, others, FSU, Louisville, Syracuse were the three other programs outside of Florida.
Look at him dip that shoulder. I'm sorry, you can't play clips in front of me. This is they dipped that shoulder, bent the edge, and got to the quarterback. Great closing speed. You know, it's the old Ole Miss joke. Can he play linebacker? This one can. He's the number one in the country, according to On3. And Ole Miss has got him committed. I wrote that column while you're sleeping soundly in Paris.
Yeah. what a world. was kind of nice because in the at some points, I guess when like the morning, everybody was asleep, so I knew there was silence. There was, you know, that opportunity to just kind of, you know, work the board a little bit with nobody, you know, jumping in on things. And so I was able to put together some articles here and there. But Isaiah Williams was one that we had heard about. We got it already. And we dropped the note on that Sunday or Monday, whatever day it was, after that official visit, that they had made a move with Isaiah Williams. And it was just a matter. This is especially when you look at a guy like him who's made multiple commitments. Would that visit high stick? Would he go through with it? And he, sure enough, he did. So Pete Golding, very excited about that one, I would imagine, and getting him across the finish line there. That was huge news.
Feels a little bit like CC Jefferson's recruitment. I covered that one a long time. He was right down the road from Gainesville. Like, essentially, these guys are in the Batesville to whatever the Batesville is to Gainesville. Like, they're that close. Like, those are all feeding grounds to the University of Florida. And even as Hugh Freeze and company were in the finalists for CC Jefferson going towards signing day, and he was visiting campus and Ole Miss was bullish on where it stood, he ended up going to Florida as everyone thought they would. It'd be like if Tig Barksdale or Nick Brazel or Tony Connor back in the day with South Panola kids. Yeah, they're going to Alabama. Until they're not, they're going to end up at Ole Miss. So there is some, especially with his track record, right, Bill, of the many commitments since 2023, and the fact that he is right down the road, has already committed to both in-state schools before. But if you can make him stick, think about what you're losing. Yeah. Potentially TJ Dottery, potentially Andrew Jones, others. This is a guy that steps in and can push to compete immediately as a freshman, and that's hard to do. Linebacker is one of the hardest positions to do it. But if Pete Golding gives his stamp of approval to high school recruits like he did with Williams, like he did with Cam Franklin, like he did with William Echols, there are certain guys that Pete just knows are dudes. If they can make him stick, this is one of them, and he can help Ole Miss immediately as early as next year. So, yeah, it's a big, big commitment if you can make him stick. If you can, holy cow. I mean, that's the, again, the old joke of can he play linebacker? Ole Miss never gets linebackers. Here's one right here. And the same thing is I'm going to be watching that home state pool. We've seen it so many times. I saw it with CC. I saw it with South Panola kids. Once it gets to nut cutting time, because it's all just window dressing until December, right? I mean, it doesn't matter how many times you commit, decommit. We can make the jokes and all this kind of stuff, right? That, and it's important to contextualize commitments in that way, especially if there's been that kind of volatility. However, Ole Miss never had CC Jefferson in the boat. They never had him committed. They have Williams committed. So that's an important hurdle to jump. Now, he's never survived, I think, 3 months committed to a team. Yeah. So now I'm watching, can they maintain being not just his leader, but holding his commitment past 3 months? Then you're clearing another hurdle. So that's what we've got to pay attention to with this one in particular, because this is one, it's a flight risk. It's just true, considering all the factors, including his many decommitments and commitments and being right down the road from Florida. But what a great – that's the first time I've watched much film on him. And, again, you saw the closing speed. You saw the ability to rush the passer from the linebacker spot. I mean, he has all the tools. And Ole Miss loves that kid. And if Pete gives you the stamp of approval, you know that – like Pete Golding's a stamp of approval record so far at Ole Miss is pretty spot on, Bill. I mean, guys that were handpicked, like that's one of my dudes – he hadn't really missed. You know, all hits, no misses so far for my man Pete Golding. And Cam Franklin has to be that guy for the defensive line this year. But, yeah, this is another example of that. I think Ole Miss is really putting together. After a slowish start for the last couple of months, April and May, you're really starting to see them build this out. You got the quarterback. You got the linebacker. And they're not done at quarterback either. Reese Wise is not where they're ending. They're getting two quarterbacks. They want to. We all thought that Landon Duckworth was on the precipice, and now he's visiting Auburn and South Carolina. Tends to happen, you know, as these things go, but you're starting to see the vision now, and the vision is as good as it's been for the last however many years. I think for the last 3 years, only six programs in the country have signed three consecutive top 25 classes and top 25 portal classes. Ole Miss is one of those six, and their portal classes are always in the top three. And now this class is in the top 20, I think it's 21 right now, has the potential to get into the top 15 because they have played it a little slower. That's the recipe. That's the formula to keep this thing kind of rolling down the track. So it's a big, big pickup for him, and it's not the only one.
No, it's not. And I do want to touch on one more prospect who was on campus with Isaiah Williams for that official visit weekend, and that's Corey Barber Jr., another guy that we've covered a lot on the Ole Miss Spirit, somebody who, you know, the staff has really done a good job recruiting and recruiting hard, and Chad Simmons is as tied in the overall just South, but also the country when it comes to the national analysts as anyone. And he really circled him as somebody coming off that official visit to Oxford as one that Ole Miss has really made a move with. And so I wanted to mention him. He's on the verge of being a top 200 overall prospect for On3. We're highest on him out of anyone in the recruiting industry. So they, Charles Power, Cody Belair, that crew is high on the Hoover, Alabama native. He's out of Spain Park. The Rebels have really made a big push for him. They've hosted him on an unofficial visit. They've gotten him on campus again for an official. Keeping an eye on this one, because one trend that is developing, I think, over the course of the spring is I'm starting to see just a little bit where some players are making that decision to go ahead and make their commitments, make their decisions, and get in before the summer, because you're seeing a little bit of where players, like the timeline now with the new recruiting calendar, and still new because this is the second or third year where they've had official visits that start as early as this, and it's unlimited official visits and all those things. But you're seeing players say, okay, I can probably go until June and take, or late June, and take all my officials and maybe even go into July and do the big 4th of July announcement. Or I've taken a game day visit. I've been visiting a place since I was a spring of my sophomore year. Some of these guys are that talented and that highly recruited. So then when you fast forward and they've come on campus for a January visit or a March visit, and then they've seen spring practice, and maybe they take these official visits in late April or early May now, and they go ahead and they make the call and commit. Like, Ole Miss has a big official visit weekend coming a couple times over the course of the May 30th, June 6th type of weekends. But I look ahead to that May 30th weekend, and they're already got, you know, a handful of guys that are expected on campus every weekend in June. They're going to have official visitors, but they're going to have more on campus than we know about. And those, that May 30th and June 6th weekends, those are ones that I'm really circling where they can make a statement and really make a move with a lot of prospects. And then you're going to see this class take off, and those players maybe won't take those official visits the rest of the way. And so there's a trend developing here. I'm watching a guy like Corey Barber to see if he follows that trend as well and ends up being somebody that makes that decision early and goes ahead and secures his spot. Because if there's one position that I feel like Ole Miss can go a multitude of ways in 2026, and it would be a good thing, it really is that wide receiver room. I mean, you look at the talent in Mississippi, you look at the talent out of state that they're recruiting as well. I mean, you could probably have a list of 10 guys that they've offered, they've had on campus for visits, they've got official visits set for. We know the big names, Jace Matthews, you know, Tristan Keys, Xavier McDonald in state, but they've also got some really talented sleeper guys that they're after and that are, you know, potentially big risers in rankings to come. Man, Corey Barber, jump on board. You've taken your official. I was talking with another staffer over the weekend, and they said, you know, these kids, if they don't commit on their official visit, or at least give you a silent, hey, what else do you need to see? At this point, we've hosted you for game day. We've hosted, in most cases, hosted you for game day. We've hosted you for spring ball. We've hosted you and given you the red carpet treatment on an unofficial. We've won 10 games, you know, in some, what else do you need to see? So unless you really want to just give a silent lock in and then say, hey coach, I'm going to take two more visits. I really want to just kind of see a couple places that maybe are far, lock in, secure your spot and start recruiting. And that's where you mentioned Landon Duckworth. He's got that Auburn official, but man, I wonder if he goes through like Jared Curtis, the five-star quarterback. Now I'm rambling, but Jared Curtis, the five-star quarterback, makes his decision, Oregon or Georgia, I think today.
Mm-hmm.
So will that visit come off the books for Duckworth if they get Jared, if the Dogs get Jared Curtis? Okay. Then you have South Carolina, Florida State, Florida State's been recruiting a bunch of quarterbacks. Make your decision soon, and then treat your June 20th official as a celebration. Yeah, that's just kind of how some of these things go from time to time. But this is a really interesting time of year. It's only heating up, and the Rebels' backfield is now heating up too, with two commitments on board. Jermichael Jones, the Pike Road, Alabama running back, is already on board, but the Rebels landed a longtime target and lean for Ole Miss on Sunday, and that is Demarius Yates, big-time running back out of Kemper County, a top 150 overall prospect for On3, one of the best players in Mississippi, committed to Ole Miss on Sunday over Alabama, Florida State, and the one-time Mississippi State commit, did it on his official visit. I actually gave him a call Sunday morning and said, hey, do you want to catch up about your official visit? And he said, yeah, sure. So we start talking, and I said, well, you know, how was your chat with Coach Kiffin? And he said, oh, I'm about to go talk with him. And I said, okay, all right, well, I'll let you go do your thing. I go, by the way, are you close to making a decision? And he goes, yeah, I think I'm close. I think I'm going to do it this week. And then he goes, maybe tomorrow. And then he goes, maybe today. I go, are you about to tell him you're committing? He goes, yeah, I am actually. And I said,
well, I appreciate the honesty.
I appreciate the honesty. I said, well, we'll keep it between us. Let you go do your thing and let Coach Kiffin get all excited about this one out of Kemper County. Because, man, I watched him at the Under Armour New Orleans camp, and physically one of the best looking running backs there in attendance in a really good group. And I think he's somebody that, you know, can be that workhorse back for Ole Miss. And, you know, he's still getting comfortable catching the football, but he's got the ability to, and he's got the understanding of route running from what I saw.
And look at him run away from defenders. Just completely leaves them in the dust.
He's been running in the 10-9 since his sophomore year in track too. So he's got that top end speed that is more than sufficient for this level. And you know, what I really like about him is that he wanted to go ahead and get this decision out of the way. He was committed to Mississippi State early on, but Ole Miss really sunk their teeth into this one and had him on campus a half dozen times, and they closed it down. He doesn't really give much away in recruiting. Like when we chatted in New Orleans, he saying, I don't really have any official visits planned, but here's where I want to go. And we learned about his official visit on that Friday. We broke the news at the Ole Miss Spirit, and we said, keep an eye on this one. And they're looking to get this done this weekend. And sure enough, they did.
It's a big get. And I love what Ole Miss is doing, not just with guys like, that they're committing, such as running backs and skill players. But if you look at what they're going for, like with Corey Barber, here's a good example. First of all, coming from Spain Park, Ole Miss fan, do you remember Evan Swindoll? He also came from Spain Park. That clicked in my head when you said Spain Park. I was like, who do I remember from Spain Park? I didn't think it would lead me to Evan Swindoll, the former Ole Miss starting center. But yeah, that one popped into my brain. If you look at it, Corey Barber is a good example of this. All of these players that we're talking about are a good example of this, because these are high school players that are going to come into a room that's not going to be completely turned over. Wide receiver, for example, you've got Caleb Odom, who has multiple years of eligibility. You have, DeJon Stribling is going to be gone at the end of the year, probably Harrison Wallace too. But this roster was built to grow in and around Austin Simmons with guys, even transfers with multiple years of eligibility. And that's why you're seeing some high school, more of an emphasis on high school players, because what was new this offseason will be veterans and filling out the top end of those rooms starting next year. Yes, we believe that Ole Miss can compete next year with this roster, but what I'm saying is there's a lot of unknown, but a lot of upside as well. Deshaun Womack, the edge from LSU, he's got multiple years of eligibility that he's going to exercise here. Prince Will Umanmielen, multiple years of eligibility to exercise here. And there's a lot of that everywhere. And in the running back room, Keewon Lacy, multiple years of eligibility. Shekai Mills-Knight will be here in August or June, and he'll be participating in practices in August. Logan Diggs is gone after this year, but you're getting what I'm getting at here. That they're not going to be completely starting over to where now you could actually build it out with high school players, high-end upside guys, because you have that. I mean, it's kind of an old school way of doing things, because you've been allowed that through the way you've constructed your roster, right? You can go heavy on skill players, specifically in high school, and take more chances that you otherwise couldn't have taken this offseason because you have to build out a roster that's got to play right now. This is more of take as many lottery tickets as you possibly can, including Corey Barber, including Tristan. I mean, you named off at least four or five guys at wide receiver alone, right? Yeah. Not to even factor in that they're going to portal next year. They're going to portal at wide receiver, especially if they lose DeJon Stribling, if they lose Harrison Wallace. You're not Caden Lee as a junior. There's an opportunity, real opportunity, and they're going to go capitalize on it to go get some transfers. But mostly this is a roster built for multiple years because that's where their contending window is. Where last year felt like the end of a phase, like, you know, Marvel phase one, two, right? You know, Endgame ended a phase for the MCU. That ended a phase for Ole Miss. This is a new phase, right? Let's hope that their multiverse phase is better than Marvel's. I'm sorry, I saw Thunderbolts this weekend. It's had my brain churning. Let's hope that their phase three, four, five is better or more cohesive and coherent than the MCU's. But that's what I'm talking about, where last year they were getting guys to put the finishing touches on a title contender. They believe they can contend for the college football playoff, and I believe it too. Andy Staples, Brad and I talked about it on Friday, had Ole Miss at number 19 in his post-spring top 25 rankings, and that was before Ole Miss went and addressed real needs like in the defensive secondary, right? 19 is right on the fringe of the college football playoff discussion. You're talking about nine wins. Who's to say Ole Miss can't be the South Carolina of this year, where last year they, quote, came out of nowhere and became a contender? Lenore Sellers and Austin Simmons could have a similar career arc to where now you're seeing Lenore Sellers being projected for the top 10 in the NFL draft next year. Ole Miss has that kind of potential, but you're starting to see the approach this year is a little bit different because of these multi-years of eligibility that's allowing them to cast a bigger net, a wider net, and take more chances in high school. How typically rosters were built, Ole Miss is using that formula. It's a little bit of an old school formula to build it out this year. So I just wanted to note that as you were talking about Corey Barber and Jace Matthews and Tristan Keys, all of these players that Ole Miss is not going to just be beholden to, okay, we got to get one or two guys committed. No, they want to get is take as many chances in high school and build it out that way because the back end of the roster is a little shaky as far as what's coming next. Now, they were prepared with some returning guys after all of these guys left, like Walter Nolan, but they're second-year guys, right? They're second-year guys that are quite literally playing in their second year at Ole Miss and in the SEC, like Cam Franklin and Will Eccles. Next year, Deshaun Womack has already played in the SEC. Prince William Onyemata's played in Nebraska, Power 5 football. I look forward to seeing guys like Ricky, what's his name, the cornerback from South Alabama, stepping into a higher level. He's got multiple
years. Fletcher?
Ricky Fletcher has multiple years of eligibility, and it's like this across the board. So this roster, what you're seeing and the build-out of this roster is something you can see for multiple years, which is exciting. And also shows you that they are entering a different phase where we don't know as much about the knowns, but the outcomes, the range of outcomes are both scarier because of what the floor could be, but also there's an unlimited ceiling if these players pan out like you think they're going to pan out. So I think it's really cool how Ole Miss is building that. And you're starting to see this shift in philosophy from building out the roster last year to this year.
And to add to that one more time, and we'll wrap up, offensive line. Another key piece to that, like,
and a defensive lineman too, Bill.
I mean, defensive line is probably, and maybe you would know a little bit more just because of the roster knowledge you have. Defensive line is like a year, maybe two ahead on that, and it's not just because of the success that they've had, but it's just because of what they've actually done in putting that together. The offensive line now they've kind of. They're leaving their portal era on that one, maybe.
Their portal era.
Yeah, maybe. Like, I would love to see Ole Miss sign six high school offensive linemen, and I think they could get
six. I wouldn't, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah, let's hear
because Lane Kiffin's track record with high school offensive linemen at Ole Miss isn't good.
Yeah, well,
hey, it isn't good. You've got to buck the trend. Bryson Sanders is one of the most important players on this roster for next year because just for what he stands for, what he represents.
Yeah.
Right? Tell me another brought in, signed, four-star offensive lineman to five-star offensive lineman, developed, started. Like, they're few and far between.
100%.
Bryson Sanders, he needs to be proof of concept for Lane Kiffin. Yeah. They have to. That's one area where they're lacking. High school, like Devin Harper is important, even as important as this year. Can he get into the rotation? Like Cam East didn't work, right?
Yeah.
Preston Cushman didn't work. These are all players that were four-star better that they loved. Kavion Broussard is now at Arkansas. This is a issue that I think Ole Miss has tried every way imaginable to correct, and it's impossible to predict this stuff with the way NIL is. And you're always going to – there's going to be a position or two where you just can't solve the riddle. Offensive line in high school recruiting specifically has been the biggest issue as far as solving the riddle, to where Ole Miss – Randall Joyner is the complete opposite. He loses Walter Nolan. He loses Princely Umanmielen, Jared Ivey, and J.J. Pegues. Xavier Harris is an NFL player. Jam Brown played really well last year in a reserve role. He's ready to break out. Losing Akilo Stone hurts because of depth. But William Echols was a mid-year All-American. It's his time now. Cam Franklin, he had reinforcements at the ready. Meanwhile, on the offensive line, tell me one – like when you heard about John Wayne Oliver coming on in the spring, you thought it was like a unicorn, seeing a unicorn in the forest, right? Because that's an offensive lineman that Ole Miss signed and developed that is actually getting some run and getting a look. And I don't know if that said more about the lack of options or that John Wayne Oliver is really pushing. Either way, that has been a sore spot for Lane Kiffin and that staff as far as recruiting and building out that room. That room is always year to year and volatile. Thank goodness Diego Pounds returned. Jayden Williams is still here because of the injury issues. Otherwise, who are you going to start at tackle?
Yeah.
So you have to get guys in here and develop them. So I wanted to touch on that. That's the one area. And it's not – it's a critique, but it's a constructive critique. It's not anything they don't know. They know this. I mean, this is where we're getting this from. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They know exactly that this is a point of emphasis this year. They have to hit here. Devin Harper matters. Bryson Sanders needs to be their starting center from jump, and he needs to be good. Otherwise, you're going to Patrick Kudus. That doesn't solve your long-term answer at two spots. If Patrick Kudus moves off of right guard, Bill – you're already having to replace two starting spots for next year, right? Yep. With transfers, because you don't have anybody coming behind them. So that's the thing I'm most – one of the most fascinating positions of Ole Miss football in 2025.
100%.
Not just the starters, but the room behind them and who's coming next.
Yes.
Who's next? Because you thought Bryson Sanders would get some run last year, Bill, and it was Reese McIntyre every single game. Yep. Not a knock on Reese. But a fifth-year guy who hadn't played much games, he had a good enough senior year. I'm curious to see, though. I would be curious to have seen what Bryson Sanders would have done with that exact same opportunity. Yeah. And I'm not saying that the coaches picked the wrong guy or anything like that. I'm just saying at some point you got to see what you got.
100%.
You got to see.
And this is also why, because, and we should wrap up, but we could do a whole podcast on offensive line. Mm. It'll be interesting to watch the transfer portal takes. Some of them that weren't maybe brought in to be a starter develop and see where they go. Because for me, I would rather take – and they couldn't this year, but this is how you do it. 5 to 6 every year offensive line, high school. Because it's such a pain in the rear end to evaluate. Mm-hmm. And there's a deep – offensive line class in Mississippi. They are recruiting nationally fairly well. They've got some guys, you know, kind of very, you know, really, you know, in on the precipice maybe of making that decision and committing to Ole Miss from the national side of things. So if you take those, because it's like throwing darts on a dartboard and you're blindfolded with the offensive line. I mean, because you could see guys that dominate on Friday nights and they're dominating, you know, a me or you, and it just doesn't translate to the next level. Or
there's not many Ben Garrett's in the SEC that you can just push over. You know,
You can't push over a Ben Garrett in the SEC. You're holding your ground.
Oh no, I'm saying if I were out there, it'd be an easy day at the office. You know, but you're right. I mean, the offensive line—that's the position we're most paying attention to. Before we get out of here, something has been weighing on my brain. Yesterday was a tragic day in my hometown. Someone I grew up with. I was in Sunday school class with like not even 2 months ago, passed away by his own hand. He left 6 kids and his wife. And as someone who has dealt with mental health issues since at least 11th grade, and now I'm almost 40. There is nothing, nothing, no mistake, no screw up, no anything that Christ alone can't change. I felt compelled to say it. God is sovereign, and that sovereignty doesn't promise us happiness all day, every day, doesn't promise us easygoing life. If anything, the sovereignty of God makes things a little bit harder, but it also clarifies things like this that don't make any sense. And as someone who's gotten to that point before, who's been in that position, who had an attempt on his own life, me, if you know anybody or if you're dealing with it, you're not alone. First, try to give it to God. And secondly, know that you are valued. You have value and worth. God is good. God is sovereign, even when it doesn't make any sense. But I wanted to say that because it's been really tough. My community has been rocked. The Ripley community has been rocked. Joel was the head coach of Ripley baseball for 15 years. They were going to build a statue for him. He had what he wanted. You know, he had his baseball job. He had the wife and the kids. And today, all of that has been flipped on his ear. And it's a tragic day. Just remember, there is nothing that you can't let go and let God. I had to learn it the hardest of hard ways. The hardest of hard ways. So if you need to talk to anybody, talk to Ben. Now, Ben talks too much. Right? But hit me up on Twitter. My DMs will be Open Spirit Ben. Hit me up on the message board, Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and Fleet of On 3. I can tell you exactly about this stuff here. And I'm devastated that the demon got somebody I've known my entire life. It was a friend of my brother. And you ain't alone, and there is nothing too big for God. And, I'm sorry to end it that way, but it'd been on my brain. It's been on my brain and it hadn't gotten out of my brain, and it won't. It's not supposed to, because either everything matters or nothing at all. And if everything matters, even stuff like this matters, and we have to learn the lesson. We have to understand what God is saying, because otherwise none of it makes no sense. Right? So thank you for letting me say something about it. I'm so glad that Bill is back home safely in the States. I'm so glad that Jack got his first overseas opportunity. I hate to break it to you, friend. He's probably not going to remember much of any of it. But y'all have the pictures for a lifetime. And we would love to have you at the Ole Miss Spirit every day, because we talk about this recruiting piece and all other things as well, including your own health, mentally and physically. I am happy to talk to you about it. I used to not be. Now I am, because it has been commanded of me by my God to be honest. So I will be honest about my issues, what I still deal with this very day, every day. Just reach out.
Yeah.
Just reach out.
Yeah. Great words, and thinking about you, buddy, and the entire community. And if anyone out there is ever struggling, just reach out, and you know, somebody's got you. And it's okay to talk about it. And I'm glad you said something, because more needs to be said about it and helping people. And there are so many resources to do that. And some are right there, right next to you. So
there's no mistake too big, bro.
Yeah.
There's no mistake. There's nothing. I'm irredeemable. I promise you. I said the same thing. I promise you. I said the same thing. This wasn't even long ago.
Yeah.
Just, let go, let God, be thankful for the sovereignty, because for me, it clarified a lot of things. The demon got Joel, but it doesn't have to get you. It doesn't have to. So thank you for letting me say something like that. But also, our friends at Riverland Roofing, thank you for your power and everything we do at the Ole Miss Spirit Talk Champions. RiverlandRoofing.com, 662-644-4297. The Ole Miss Spirit, Ole Miss Spirit.com. It was an adventure. I did my first lives without you. The first one was a mess. The second or third one, the Price and Sanders didn't work great, but we're slowly getting there. It is much easier when my man Billy Embody is on that side over there handling the bells and whistles, and we're going to be doing live stuff from this point on, and we want to see y'all there with us. Come and hang out with us, man. This is all we want to do. We want to embrace the Ole Miss community. We want y'all to embrace us. And understand that we all going through this together, man. We all walking this walk together. And we have a little pocket of people here, this Ole Miss Spirit, Ole Miss community, that you know, we can rise and fall together, man. I'm just saying, you don't have to carry a burden by yourself ever.
Yeah. All right, buddy. We'll catch you next time on another edition of Talk of Champions. Thanks for listening, and talk to you later this week.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What's standing between you and your first sale on Shopify? Time, expertise, resources? What if you could multiply all three? Product descriptions? Done. Store insights? Delivered. 2 a.m. customer questions? Handled instantly. Entrepreneurs on Shopify are reaching their first sale faster with AI that works with you. Go to shopify.com/firstsale to see how entrepreneurs use AI to grow their businesses faster. That's shopify.com/firstsale.